The title of this message is When You've Had Enough. When you've had enough. Those of you out here who are battling with anxiety or fears or worried about things, your health, your finances, you might be burdened by your children. I don't know. You might be worried about whether your children can make the grade at school or they can move on to the next place they want to go. You might be worried about all manner of things. I know I get worried about things from time to time. I know when Paul wrote the words in Philippians, he was banged up in a jail in Rome. And then he writes these words in Philippians, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. Why don't you tell the person next to you, the Lord is near? Just go on, humor me. Tell the person next to you, the Lord is near. Now, you know, most pastors, before they go to work in the morning, walk on water and never put a foot wrong. Never nudge the breakfast bowl on the floor and watch it shatter into pieces. Never burn their lips with the coffee. Never get caught up by anybody on the road on the way to work. We just drift along, just going along, and nothing ever wrong happens to us. Oh, I wish that was the case. One day in the summer, I was pulling out of a garage, out of a pump petrol station, and I looked up the hill and I couldn't see a car coming up the hill. Unfortunately, I wasn't looking down the hill. I pulled out, bang! The people came out in shock and said, you, and you were unfortunate. I wish they'd said that. I looked at what they were wearing. They were all dressed in black. Oh, grief, they're going to a funeral. I didn't have the heart to tell them that I was a minister, and I probably could tell them worthy. I just apologized profusely. I'm really sorry. Oh, yeah, I'm so sorry. We exchanged the things, details. They went on their way with their beautiful car with a tear down the side of all the paintwork. And I went with a dent in my lovely car, driving along. And I actually was meeting a fellow minister at a pub. I said, give me a whiskey. No, I didn't. So I said, can you get me an orange juice? I'm a little bit shaken. And drank the orange juice, had a lovely chat with this chap, calmed right down. And then 2 weeks later, I got a parking ticket for not punching my number into the bar. The heck? I've ruined my car and now I've got a fine. It doesn't always go straightforward. There's some things that happen to us that we think, God, are you for real? We had some bad family news a couple of weeks ago, and you turn around and you say, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, rejoice. Don't be anxious for nothing. Look, one of the biggest challenges around us are with our children. They live in a generation that's far more pressurized than we could ever imagine, or possibly more pressurized than what we grew up in. You know, when I was a kid, one of the things I worried about was how was I going to get some rubber tires for my bike? Or was I just going to ride on a wheel rim all the time? You know, where would I get a football from so I could kick it in the garden with my brother? How can we get up that apple tree without breaking our necks and get an apple? It all seems so mild compared to what the kids are worried about today. Am I going to get good grades? Am I going to graduate? Am I going to be in with the in crowd? Am I going to be liked on Facebook? Am I going to be trolled? Am I going to be bullied? Am I going to be running around with guys who are trying to sell me drugs? Am I going to be selling drugs? What's it all about? Already at this young age, they're running up bills that make their parents weep. And when they get older, am I going to marry a nice person or am I going to marry a psycho? Well, I'm sure you guys can tell them what they're going to do. Am I going to get a job? What job is it going to be? Pressure, pressure, pressure. And the scripture tells us not to be anxious about anything. Elijah in the reading, he's slightly anxious. He's got a woman who's coming after him. He's just had the greatest victory anybody could ever have. He's just beat all the prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. He's just beat them all into submission. When they did the fire burning exercise, whose God can burn up the altar? There was Elijah mocking the prophets of Baal. Perhaps you need to shout a little louder. Perhaps your God's a little bit deaf. Perhaps you need to beat yourself a little bit more so that your God can hear you and know that you mean business. And while they wore themselves into a frenzy, he comes up and says, could you just chuck a bit more water on my altar, please? More water. Just chuck it on. Water. Water. God in heaven. Vroom, poof, toast. You would have thought, gosh, if I had won a victory like that, my chest would be out. And nobody could come near me. But not Elijah. He is worried. He's heard that Jezebel is going to come and kill him, destroy him. She's fed up of waiting on her husband, King Ahab. She says, if you want a job to be done, let's get a woman to do it, shall we? And he kind of knows that, Elijah. And he falls apart into a deep depression and anxiety. I want to tell you that he does four things that we do when we fall into those kind of things. Four mistakes that he actually made in 1 Kings 19 that we've read. He effectively says, I can't take it anymore. Take my life. I'm no better than my ancestors. I can't take it anymore. I can't take it anymore. We've all been there at some stage. Can't cope with my children getting on my nerves. I can't cope with my husband getting on my nerves. I can't cope with the bills anymore. I can't cope with the fact that I produced 9,000 hot dinners and nobody said thank you for one of them. I can't take it anymore. Somebody's gonna kill me. Somebody's gonna take me out. The first thing we do when we get under a little bit of pressure sometimes is that we try and run away from it. We try and run away from it, and that's what Elijah did. He wore himself out. He ran away. He focused on the negative. That was the second thing he did. He focused on the negative. He ran 100 miles away from the situation, thinking he could escape it. He hid in a cave. He got really upset. I don't know if the men say this, but I've heard my wife say it a few times. Am I the only one who does anything in this house?
Yes, you are.
Elijah's going, am I the only one of yours, Lord? Am I the only prophet? Am I the only one? I'm the only one, Lord. Everybody else is rubbish. I've done it all. And I'm scared. He's been negative. He's run away. He's been negative. He thinks he's going to suffer. And number four, the biggest thing, he forgets God. He forgets that God is there with him, had been there with him. His name Elijah, El stands for Elohim. Elohim, God. God, which is God. Jah, which is Yahweh. His name tells him that God's round about him. My middle name's Emmanuel. It's God with us. Should I ever forget that God is with me? I just remember my middle name. But of course, the Jews couldn't call all of God's name out because they thought that was sinful and they might be struck dead for it. So they used to go, they took all the vowels out of the word Yahweh and used to go, yeah, yeah. And when they did that, they knew that was them calling on the Lord. The reading goes on to tell us that the Lord said to Elijah, go out and stand on the mountain in the presence of the Lord, for the Lord is about to pass by. Then a great and powerful wind tore the mountain apart and shattered the rocks below. But the Lord was not in the wind. After the wind was the earthquake, and the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake came a fire, but the Lord was not in the fire. When in the 70s, you know, I had a couple of Earth, Wind and Fire albums myself. But the Lord was in none of those. A gentle whisper. A gentle whisper came. A gentle whisper. The Lord is near. If you want to whisper to somebody, you have to get fairly close to them for them to hear it. For God to whisper to Elijah, God had to be standing really close. The Lord is near. The Lord is near. When I became an RM, one of the things that we were recommended to do is get a spiritual director. Now, all the time as a pastor, I was going, I ain't got time for that. I ain't got time for that. I've got sermons to preach, people to visit, community to give out. I ain't got time to pulse about talking about my feelings. It's true. So sad. But true. I got myself a spiritual director. The first meeting was very cagey. Yes. No. Really? And as I let that person in, I found out that he became a really fantastic help. That as we sat down facing one another and talked things through, that actually I was helped greatly, and somehow I seemed to be an encouragement to him. It doesn't hurt to get a little bit of help. It doesn't hurt to listen to somebody else and take counsel from them from time to time. And it certainly doesn't hurt to talk and listen to God. The Lord is near us. You know, Elijah was frightened that he was going to be killed. I've got to tell you, he needn't have been afraid of that because half the stuff we're frightened about never happens. Have you ever realized that? Half the stuff we're worried about doesn't happen. So why stress about it? I'm not naive. Sometimes it does. But most of the time it doesn't. He was worried about dying. And towards the end of his story, he's walking with his young apprentice, Elisha, and a chariot comes down and takes Elijah and takes him into the clouds, and Elijah just doesn't die. The thing he was most worried about just doesn't happen. Sometimes we need to know, if we're walking with God, the things that we're worried about, God protects us against, and sometimes it doesn't happen. And even if it does happen, the Lord is still near. If we have anything to rejoice about, it's the fact that He whispers to us. He whispers to us. He comes close to us. We had some people come and do, come from Suffolk to experience some inner city church life. So they came to Smallheath. They came to the service, and the minister's wife got up and said, "Do you know, in this service, I feel like I've been kissed by God. Forgot to kiss you, got to be awfully close." Said, "I felt like being kissed by God." Another person felt, "I felt the Lord is very near." I want us to know that the Lord is near us all the time. We don't need to worry, we don't need to fret, we don't need to think we're the only ones doing something. God knows what we do, and He's near us. And even if we're anxious, He's near us to reassure us and give us His peace. So even though we do get anxious about things, the Bible verse says, don't be anxious. Why shouldn't we be anxious? Because the Lord is near. We're not like those who don't have any hope, Paul says. We have God. We have God. And we know the Lord is near us because when we come to the communion, we see what He has done for us. He forgave all my sins. He made me brand new. He filled me with His Spirit so that God could be near. In a few moments, as we break this bread and wine, break this bread and drink this wine, we're going to remember that the Lord came and was near us. When you choose your Advent songs for the next few weeks, remember the Advent tells us that the Lord came and the Lord is coming and the Lord is near us. If I was choosing my song, it would be O Come Emmanuel. So if anybody chooses that, can you add my name to it as well, please? The Lord is near.